call back in this session. Next item, then this is the presentation from Tallgrass LLC. Now, we provided for an executive session, but to the extent you can, we'd like to hear as much in an open session as possible. And so I'm going to start to turn it over to you then, Jim Holder and Tim Talke, to make your presentation. I guess it's a brief or a description of what you're planning for the rest of the year. That's because there'll be a bill coming up soon for bonding, and we want to get some background on that before we pass out.
Good.
So I'll turn it over to you, but.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of Congress. Thank you all so much for the opportunity to come here. I know you guys have had a long day, and so we're going to be as brief as possible, but we're going to cover it as in the depth that you need. So feel free to stop us and ask us questions as we go. We really have three purposes for being here. And first and foremost is to kind of update you all on what's going on with Tallgrass, just to share with you a brief high level. I'll introduce folks in just a second.
Could you also introduce them?
I was going to introduce the whole board here.
Okay.
Just a second, Congressman. Second is to, well, first is to give you a high level brief of where we are with Tallgrass. Second is to hand you the documents that we just talked about, which is kind of the rewrite of our articles of organization. It's not a huge rewrite, just some modifications that have been suggested by legal counsel to comply with the Osage LLC Act. And the third is to talk about the future needs that we're going to have with Tallgrass. And to that end, I'd like to introduce our board, the board that has come to be with us today. We have Ray Hankins is the treasurer of our board. Kay Bills has joined us and has attended one meeting at this point. And then Jim Holder, of course, is the president and CEO of Tallgrass, and I chair the board. I'm Tim Talke. So with those thoughts, just so you know, the PowerPoint is very short. It's only about eight slides, I think.
Pretty short, yeah.
It's about eight slides, and I'm just going to turn it over to Jim Holder at this time.
All right, thank you, Tim. And thank you all for inviting us up here. And, I know I've been talking to Congressman Kupinaw about the schedule, and it's not easy, so we're glad you stuck through it. I'm going to make this work. There we go. Okay. So where have we been and you know, some key financial metrics. And I'll draw your attention to the graph first. I think it's a good summary illustration wise. In 2014, there you go. Yeah, there's plenty here, so. And then there's this presentation, Angela, is just, yeah, if you'll flip to that second page.
This thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. There you go. So if you look at that graph, kind of a timeline, 2014 is when the board finished changing over, new management came on. That was a tough time, tough year, and we started the dialogue with you all at that time, and we all knew where we, you know, what we've been through. 2015, we really focused on getting those old companies closed, the ones that were very unprofitable and very poor structure of transactions and purchases. And we have, out of all that, we have two investments that are actually solid and pay some return back. 2016, we really started Tallgrass up, and that's when we really got back in business. So if you look at the trajectory of where we have come from and where we're going, our target for this year is as high as $1 million in net income. The way that happens is the timing of contracts, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about our contracts that are in process and our sales that's in process. But There's an awful lot of speculation right now that there's going to be some acceleration in some expenditures by the federal government. Y'all probably heard some of the similar comments. So we're trying to be in a position to take advantage of that. Last year, our focus really was in building our AA companies, our two companies, because we started from nothing. We had no employees a year and a half ago, and then we started hiring people last summer, and have now put business development teams together. We've now put leaders in each of the companies. We have the construction company, Dustin, who you all have met, and Jill running the technology firm.
Jill Jones.
Jill Jones. And then so that's really kind of a highlight there. From a liquidity standpoint, at the bottom, you know, we have $3.1 million of cash in the bank. We're using $1 million of that as collateral. We have $2.1 available for operations, and that will be necessary when we really get cranked up. We'll be using some of our working capital to finance our receivables and our growth. So today we want to talk to you about an additional $1 million of collateral, which would allow us to then have $2 million of bonding collateral, which gives us $20 million worth of bonding. Okay. I'm trying to get around.
There we go.
Okay. Quick refresher. Tallgrass Construction Services is our construction company that is we're on the base at Tinker now, full time. We've got a formal job trailer there. We've got about $5 million worth of work underway. We've entered into a formal mentor-protege relationship with Synergy, which is a very successful A&E firm, architectural and engineering firm, and that's going well. That company is the company that's bringing the most revenue by far into our current forecast. And it's the company that really had, you know, when we restarted with the people, that was a company that had some momentum.
The Tallgrass Construction?
Yes. Yeah.
What are you guys doing right now on Tallgrass Construction?
So we have about 5 projects at Tinker in process. 2 pretty major remodels inside of hangars, which is great. So we're, in fact, two of those. We've got a large fence, $700,000 privacy fence. We're doing some concrete work there, which is about $500,000. And then we've got another small remodel. And that's all really directed to us from the Tulsa Core District. And then our relationship down there at Tinker is just really going well. So we're hopeful to receive some more work this year, but that's what we have going today.
So those 5 projects are all at Tinker Air Force Base?
Yes.
Through the Corps? Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And they have, you know, as you may remember, they've got a small business program emphasis, and they have people that focus on helping us 8A companies get work. And so we're really pleased with their support of us. Tallgrass Technology Services, we started from scratch last summer. Jill Jones joined us to do that, and so we're focused now we have one mentor-protege relationship with Data 3. You may remember us talking about that. Data Center, which is a vendor for the nation, and as well as writing some software programs. I think since we were here last, we have now started working in the cybersecurity world. It's a great opportunity going forward. There's so many issues inside of cybersecurity. And so we're going to be focused on that as well.
So Tallgrass Technology Services, do they contract their services out mm-hmm. to other companies? Mm-hmm. How many contracts do you think you guys have in that business? Is it hard to say? Or?
Well, we have about, and I'll kind of walk you through the contracts and process here a little bit,
okay.
Maria. But,
okay.
But we have about $250,000 in revenue this year, which is primarily equipment sales. And when we've been using, Jill's done a great job of using small equipment sales to get into the agencies to build relationships. Mm-hmm. We've also now started traveling the Washington, D.C. area about once a quarter. That's where Jill is this week. Mm-hmm. So we've got a couple of contracts that are imminent, we hope, and quite a bit more to go. So we think this is the year where we're going to really, you know, break it out for technology.
And I'm glad we're in that field. Is it okay if I just ask questions?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So on the Mentor Protege with Data 3, does that mean that everything that we do within Tallgrass Technology Services is done through that relationship?
No.
We're doing some things on our own?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the Mentor Proteges are really designed for a specific function that they bring to us and a specific service. In this case, the data center itself and then some software development. But the software development side could be, if we win a large contract there, their staff would not be able to handle it. And so we would use their staff to help manage the software development, and we'd have to go find other developers and bring them in too. So it's really a marketing relationship in large part.
Okay.
So, those are great questions. So those are the two current companies that you all have heard about in the past. We just received board approval and are just now, we filed our papers with the nation yesterday to start two new companies, Tallgrass Support Services, which is going to be managed in the operating general manager world by Jill Jones as well. And then when we get so large, we'll have to start bringing in some sub-management. And they're going to focus on facilities maintenance and technical education and training. And really what we're doing there is we're starting to get into the business of using staffing and other people that are technical to do work on site in facilities, whether it be bases or whether it be agency offices or GSA offices. Some of that can be basic maintenance, but a lot of it is we're focusing on some differentiated training, military training, some specialized kind of training. We've met some new partners here in the last 6 months that are really good at that. So what we would do in that case, you know, really to kind of leverage your question, Maria, that is the project management always falls on us. And then as we become more active in those projects, we'll start adding staff that can actually do some more of those kinds of functions. But in this case, you're going to have a lot of times where you've got, there's a contract coming up with 25 people working at the Air Force Academy. That's a government contract. And if we win that, the people that have been working there for the other 8A firm will go to work for us, and we'll manage the relationship, from a project standpoint. Those people will work for our company. So that's the support services company. And that has a real broad reach, very broad reach. And that's one of the reasons we started that.
One more question. Mm-hmm. Is that an 8A venture also?
We will file for 8A status.
And so does that fall under different, whatever those codes are?
Yes,
it falls does. Under a different type
uh-huh.
of code?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so the construction services is a very set of specific general construction codes.
Mm-hmm.
The technology services is some real technical stuff. This is a broader, it's 56-12-10, it's the only one I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a real broad category, and then there's some subcodes underneath there, but that 56-12-10 is a great, you know, area.
So the way I understand it, that just increases your areas that you can bid on different projects that are out there.
Correct.
Being advertised,
correct?
Yes. Okay.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay.
And then the other new company that we've just started up, it's referred there as Tallgrass Civil Engineering. Civil Engineering and Environmental. You all may remember the company that we tried to buy last year, Frontier Services, where we got down to the end and we couldn't quite get it finished.
Mm-hmm.
That was a remediation company, an environmental civil engineering remediation company. It's a little smaller. That field is huge. The government spends a lot of money on what they call horizontal engineering, moving dirt, navigable waterways, all kinds of different projects there. And we have become acquainted in the last 3 months with this company in Tulsa called A&M Engineering. And they've got about a 50-man firm, and they've got a really good reputation. So we're exploring whether we end up doing a mentor protege with them or whether we just do teaming. We're not real sure. But we're going to work for the rest of this year to get some experience inside of that company, so that when we do file the 8A for that company, we'll have some experience. Because at this point, we have not done any civil engineering work at all, okay? And we want to get a little bit out under our belt, and then we'll, you know, we just have a lot of desire for that to go well.
Jim, in construction, you talked about Tinker. Did you want to mention any of the other ones that are looking?
Oh, you know what? That's going to come up here in just a second.
Is it? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And I have one more question about the two new companies that you've just filed articles for, Progress Support Services and Tallgrass Civil Engineering and Environmental. I heard you say that Jill is going to head up the support services company. Civil Engineering and Environmental, I heard you say that you want to get that experience with this partner, A&M Engineering. So are we going to put an employee in with A&M Engineering? How are we going to gain that?
Oh, yeah. We'll have to have an operating general manager. It may be Dustin for now.
Okay.
And he can manage two companies technically, but if any one of them really takes off, we'll have to bring in, you know, separate management and maybe more technical management in the civil engineering side.
When they take off.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well said. Okay. Business development. Just some highlights. Okay. We really are pleased with what's happened, and I don't want to overstate this, but we really feel like we've kind of hit our stride. There's a lot of receptivity in the marketplace right now with the customers, the core offices, the bases, the DOD, the agencies that we've been talking with, even GSA, who are all big agencies. And we've really focused on individual relationships. That's what Jill Jones is doing this week in D.C. She's got 12, 13 meetings. And that, as you all know, that's how you sell products and services is to people. So we've got 30 new key sales relationships in the past 12 months that we've been tracking, and that's going to be hopefully 60 in another 6 months. Tim just pointed out that we've really moved. This time last year, we were at Tinker, and that was our sole activity, really, was trying to bring that along as we then hired some people and started moving. We've now been able to move to Kansas City, Fort Worth, Little Rock, Fort Leonard Wood, you're going to hear about a little more, Fort Sill, and some others. And those are regional places that we're working in. We're going to have the ability to work nationally very quickly. And I'll just make this comment too, the partner relationships. One of the things that happens when you start to meet these other companies you work with is they already have existing relationships inside of a particular military base or a particular, you know, buyer, customer. So once you establish a trusted relationship with a new partner, then you have the ability to go in and sell services together. Okay? So we've really focused on that as well. Now, look at the bottom, and that'll just show you dollar-wise, the activity level now versus 12 months ago. 12 months ago, we had $1.4 million in awarded business, and that was at Tinker. Today, we have $4.3 million awarded business dollars in business. That's all at Tinker still. The next category down, and these are all moving from certain to less certain. Okay, certain to in process. The next category down are verbal commitments we've received. Most of which is at Fort Leonard Wood, which is a new territory we've been working on. We worked in conjunction with Assistant Chief Red Corn. He's made some cultural visits up there, and we've been able to tie those into some sales trips into the base. And he did a really good job of helping open some doors there. And then we've now made a couple of other relationships with folks that are right there and are going to be able to help us get some work. So today, we have been told of $9 million and a little bit more worth of projects, three projects at Leonard Wood, and we've been told by the contracting officer that we will have those awarded to us directly. And it's just a question of getting all the work lined up and the documents lined up. So in one case, it's some funding. The major project there is to build a fire station on Fort Leonard Wood, where they have a problem right now. and don't have a fire station that they need on a particular part of the base. So it's a pretty urgent matter. So you can see that number's moved up quite a bit, the set aside verbal commitments. Proposals, we've got $5.9 million worth of proposals out right now. And then probably the biggest category of where this all begins is what we call preliminary proposals or indications of interest, where the government will say, they call it a request for proposal or a source of sought or a request for information. And what we're doing is we're telling them we're interested in the project, and then you expose with the marketing materials you guys have seen and some of the other material, then you expose them to the project and then hopefully can begin the process to get it set aside or, worst case, enter into a competitive 8A process where you compete with other 8A firms. So, yes?
So on proposals submitted, that's the value of those proposals right there. So your company, Tallgrass, could handle, if you were awarded every one of those proposals mm-hmm. that you have submitted, you guys have the ability to make those happen.
It's a good question. And so what we've actually developed a modular concept, I'll call it. And this is mostly construction. And on the construction side, for every $10 million worth of work, we've got to hire a project manager and two other support people. One's called a QC manager and one's called a safety officer. And those three people can then go out and manage a block of work. And if we win this work at Fort Leonard Wood, we will establish an office there, and we will have full-time employees there every day. So we will hire people for the jobs. And then long-term, when our company grows to $40, $50, $60 million, we always have people out in the field doing the work. And then the trick also is, how do you grow your office staff to be able to manage those things remotely?
So when you submit those proposals, do you guys have a margin figured in of what your return or your profit would be on those proposals?
Sure.
What is that? Is there like a standard percentage rate that you guys try to to build into those mm-hmm. proposals?
Typically, it's going to be 14% to 16% on construction. On some of the technology projects, we can make a little bit more, maybe 20.
Okay.
So yeah, we definitely have a target.
And then my one last question about this slide is the first heading awarded, and then you have it parenthetical, and I think you covered it, but maybe I didn't hear good. It says in progress. So does that mean that all of those, that 4.3 has all been awarded to you already?
It's awarded, and there are people doing things on the projects today.
Oh, wow. That's great. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I had.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, stuff's happening. We have a full-time employee in Oklahoma City who's on Tinker most of the days. And then we have a full-time employee who helps manage some of the elements of all the scheduling and so forth. Doing work for the government, you spend a lot of time on reporting to them on schedules and so forth. So we've got two full-time employees in the construction division besides Dustin now. Okay?
I guess I really have one more question.
Sure.
So the set-aside verbal commitments, that's a lot.
A lot.
So have those just not been packaged out for bid yet, or?
So those are projects where we were able to get in to the contracting officer before it got out for a proposal. And they said, Maria, we want to award you this project directly, okay? And then you enter into that whole process of discussing the project and can you handle it and so forth, and you discuss your capabilities. So that is the perfect answer to every contract we get, is that it's been given to us before it goes out for competitive 8A. Now there's a limit to how much of that we can do. At some point we have to actually go out and do competitive work. But to get us going like we are, that's our target, is to get a direct award. And that's a contracting officer's decision. Do I think this company can do this work? And you know, they're career government employees, so
right.
They don't want to lose their job.
Right.
So you've got to be on your game. Those are great questions. I'll go quickly through this. I want to call your attention to the third bullet point, and we do feel affirmed. I'll say to the first point, We do feel affirmed that our whole team has been received by the marketplace, and we've had people inviting us to be partners with them and them to with us. And I will tell you, you've heard this from our team and our board in the past. If we don't see integrity and character, we don't want to be in business with the people. I think you all know that about us. But it is very much, life is too short, and if you get involved with the wrong people, you know, it's over. So we're real pleased with the partners we've met. The third bullet point is pretty exciting. So the teams, the partners we've pulled together, essentially, I'm going to run you through some acronyms here, essentially pull us into every major set-aside category in the federal government. Women-owned, small business, okay? Service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. Veteran-owned small business, which is similar. The service-disabled, veteran-owned small business bucket is a bucket that has grown a lot. There's an increasing, as a social program, you see more and more emphasis at the federal level on growing those dollars for disabled veterans. So along with our 8A Hub Zone and our Indian Small Business Enterprise, ISBEE, the point in all that is we can, if the contract comes down the pike and the contracting officer says, I'm going to put this in the women-owned small business bucket, we say, okay. You know, but that means Angela's firm, who's the women-owned small business, this is actually a firm in Missouri that we're partnering with, will take the lead on that. And then whoever falls in as subcontractors will get some of the work. So the idea there is to have a team of people who can help accommodate the set-aside program. If it's in the 8A program, we'll be the prime. If it's in the veteran-owned small business program, we won't be the prime, but we'll do the project management. We may do some engineering and design work. So does that make sense, what I'm telling you? It just depends on who's the lead dog. Okay? So that's been a good thing, and I'll just show you this slide here, a bunch of logos. On the right, you'll see the skills and the capabilities of those firms. That list is going to grow exponentially as we go along. And we need to be appropriate in adding partners, but we also want to be very opportunistic in finding people that know what they're doing, have already done work with the federal government, and you know, can be a good partner. Okay? So there's a lot of services there on the right to just give you a sense for a lot of stuff going on. And yes, if these things start rolling in, we're going to have to hire some smart people. And we look forward to that. The punchline is we have $10 million of capacity today. We have about $6 million of the $10 million bonding line used up right now. So we've got about $4 million left. If we get the 10 up in Missouri, then we'll be out of bonding. So the timing couldn't be better. $1 million more will allow us to increase our bonding capacity to 20 million. And that would be a really good amount of headroom for us, because the four to five that we're working on now, Tinker, that'll wind down this year later, and we'll be able to free that up. So, you know, it goes up and it goes down. But if that 10 hits up in Missouri, you know, in the next 2 or 3 weeks like we hope, then we'll need that new money. That'll be really important. That's it. That's our presentation. What did I miss, folks?
You there?
Questions? All right. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to ask some questions about, you know, we haven't in the past specified how LLCs report to us. And we've just kind of accepted whatever they sent up here. And I think we're going to have to put in legislation a form of reporting projections. For instance, what you said about your net profit, the awarded contracts should yield a profit of say a half million dollars at least. Yet over here, it looks like the net income is going to be possibly break even. You have a stretch target. I don't know exactly what that means, but.
Yeah, our previously reported projection is a half a million dollars, and it still is.
So is it, it still is. You're projecting a half million, but on a meeting that we sat in on, listened in on, Ron and I, you projected $950,000 net profit.
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, at the time, we had a lot more work that was hopefully coming down the pike, and then we lost a $3.5 million project because it's not going to be funded. So we just had to, you know, revise that. It's not happening right now. So
that was just a couple of months ago, maybe.
Yeah, it's a big project at Tinker that's been set aside for us, and they're not going to do it.
I had asked that you bring a business plan for these two new companies. Can you show us your projected profit on those two?
No, we don't have any projections put together yet.
Okay. What about these five Tinker projects? Could you give me the project plan on that? I'm not.
You mean the profits? The profits?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like to have, we're going to start looking closer at all these things. I'd like to have the business plan on each of these projects.
Sure.
Projected income. And and on the $250,000 of sales of Tallgrass Technology, I'd like to see that, the net projected revenue. Mm-hmm. And also, I wanted to ask you, and it's outside of this, which we'll be talking again, but we've kind of wondered, some of us have kind of wondered if we need two LLCs, where you now you're using the same people on ones and here on in some instances. And would there be any cost savings if we just had one LLC? I mean, I know there would be because the one is not producing any income, just expenses. But is your focus so different that it wouldn't work?
We have had discussions with them. As a matter of fact, we had dinner with the board from ONES not long ago, and that was part of the very discussion that we were talking about, which is how can we save money? How can we assist them in saving money? How can we assist them in being successful? And you know, we've got office space, we've got accountants, we've got all those things that a business has to have, and those are available to them. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Remember what we talked about? So certainly, how to gracefully make that happen, I don't know. We're available to help them and the nation do whatever they need to do.
I'll give you a little more detail on that. We had that meeting, as Tim was talking about, and Ms. Jones set that up. As she was ramping up her time inside of our technology firm running it, and she's, as I understand it, no longer the chairperson for that board now. So she said, why don't we get together? And we did. We had two boards met, had a dinner, and I joined as well. And really said, you know, in some detail what had gone on. Mr. Stewart talked about what they had done at Cherokee and how they had, it was a good explanation of you build these services, which is what you're thinking, legal, accounting, HR, etc. And those services serve a lot of folks. You also, when you put the capital inside of one spot, then you don't have competing interest for capital. You've got a board who has capital, and then they deploy that capital across different companies, you know. And then if there's more capital needed for the parent company, then you can come back and talk with you folks. So we had a really good discussion, and everybody was saying, okay, those are some interesting ideas. We just said, let us know what we can do to help. And we really haven't, there hadn't been any follow-up.
Well, that's, no, we know what we could do about it. We could dissolve that other.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering, is their focus so different from what you do that it wouldn't be any way to mash the two? Or, as far as I know, that other, the ONES has only produced costs. I don't think they've ever produced any income to amount to anything. And when we did give them money for a certain project, they used it to buy a building, which wasn't what we gave it to them for. And I'm just curious about that.
I think we could do a fine job of marshaling them along, and to the extent that there's any, I know they had looked at the construction firm located here in town, and I've in fact since talked to that gentleman a couple of times, Pipeline Construction Company, and I think that's something that would easily fit within our world if that were to be a goal. If you start getting into the mineral side of things, and we don't currently have any expertise in that side of the business, we know how to make things and build things, but so we could certainly bring, you know, people in to do that.
You know, right now we know we're duplicating a lot of costs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now they've asked to present to us, and I guess we'll set that up pretty quick, and we'll get their side of it. But
we're here to help.
Wondering about, is that something we need more to look at, or you want to consider?
It makes perfect sense when you look at the overhead that both of them are having. And I think philosophically the goals are the same of the two, which the mission is to serve the people of the Osage Nation and to generate revenue to help support the people of the Osage Nation. And as Tallgrass has turned around and is now becoming profitable, we anticipate some great opportunities to do that very thing. And I think that one would like to do that. I don't think that they're there yet. And we can certainly, as Jim said and I said, we're wanting to do whatever we can to help.
Well, you know, right now, money's pretty tight, and at a meeting I sat in on, you all indicated you didn't need any more working capital to handle the projects you've got. So you won't be coming to us for infusion for working capital, but you may need bonding. And I think that bonded money is safe enough that we won't get a lot of flack by giving it to you. But boy, it's going to be tough to give you any working capital, so I'm glad you don't need it.
We're good. We're good on the working capital. In fact, we worked through that we were talking about that driving up. And the $2 million is a good, comfortable number for us. If we get, you know, a bunch of billings and payroll, we think we'll be okay. And at some point, if we you know, grow so much, that could in fact become a constraint that's healthy, because we don't want to go too fast.
What a great place to be, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if it started producing profits, it wouldn't be that.
That's right.
Well, that's hard.
Internal cash.
That's about all I got. Committee.
Okay. So what's your potential to leverage money outside of the nation?
It's a great question. I'm just getting ready to say that. So. Really in the middle of, in fact, Mr. Stewart knows the BOK folks well and was introducing me to them, and I want to finish that because we could, I think, Marie, I think we can establish some kind of a line of credit with them. And as we get some credibility, we might even be able to get a what's called a term loan, which would be if we wanted to buy a company and actually pay it out over time, over 3, 4, 5 years, out of the cash flow of the company we bought. So it feels like this is the year to get the relationship in place and then maybe act upon it, you know, in, you know, late this year or next year.
So you think your things are sound enough that you could borrow money now, huh?
Not yet, but at the end of this year. So we want to start talking to these folks. And, you know, the great thing is they're the same people that are doing business with you guys all across the board. So we don't want to get the cart before the horse here. We need to perform this year. We've got things to do, but once we can show that, we think the bank might start to, you know, be interested. $1 million revolver, you know, million and a half. Ray, you getting me? That's a good question.
Well, I'm not. We did provide for executive session, and I'm glad you were able to talk about all this in open session, because we get a lot of flack when we go out to executive session. Is there any reason to go out to executive session? Okay.
I have a couple of questions. Okay, I'll talk about that in broad strokes. Okay, so I'm looking on your first page of your combined results from 2016. I commend you for coming down, bringing your monthly expense reduction from 160. I could say it out loud. Mm-hmm. From 160,000 in 2014 to 75,000 a month in 16. Great job. I mean, that's huge. I don't know what you guys were doing with $160,000 a month expenses in 2014. It is beyond me to even.
Yeah, there was.
We were running two very unprofitable companies.
Okay. One in Wisconsin and one in Tennessee.
We were paying the overhead and expenses for ABS, and so, we showed up.
I'm very glad we're down to a $75,000 expense in 16, but that's about $920,000. A year for operating expense. Can you tell us what the Osage people, what that gets for us? Can you kind of give us a rundown? Because I hear, one thing I did hear is that you have office space available, but then I also think that I heard that you guys are trying to renew your office space where you currently are. That may be rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, so maybe you guys can clear that up for me. There was about three questions in there.
The current office space contract is about $4,500 a month. Mm-hmm. $50,000, $54,000 a year. You got the overhead of our CEO, of an administrative assistant. You've got the folks in the construction companies that are there now. Most of those cost out these jobs. But the overhead is in our CEO, in our office space, in our marketing costs.
Our management personnel, Mr. Alphin and Mrs. Jones.
In our legal support.
Legal support. Accounting, travel, sales and travel.
We've got draft financials out there, and I'd be more than happy to spend some time with you looking at what the overhead costs actually are, so you could have a better way to communicate that to your constituents if that's what you're after. I think the biggest thing is what we did really is kind of, as the timeline kind of shows, we kind of gutted this whole operation and then started it back up.
And I agree. You start
to see some of those overhead costs come back and be increased.
Because you're doing more business.
Because we're doing more business, and we hope to do more and more.
Are you guys planning on staying in the current place that you are right now? I heard that at one point in time you were thinking about coming back into the boundaries of Osage County.
I think that's a discussion we certainly need to have as a board. Okay. We had been locked into a long-term lease that was really there when we all got there.
Right. I knew that, too.
So I think it's time for us as a board to put that on an agenda and make decisions about where we're located and how much space we have.
And one more question that I have is, I know, and I've talked to many of the people on your board that there's some that are currently there that I really have thought a lot of, and they have pointed out that their, you know, business practices, you kind of have to differentiate what you're really doing with your money and your dollars.
But I know that one of the mandates of the Osage LLC Limited, Osage LLC, one of the mandates of our Limited Liabilities Company Act is that we employ Osage people. And I want to know, I know with our enterprises, when they, the gaming enterprise, they send us a monthly financial. I know you guys aren't doing as much business as them, but part of their monthly paperwork they send to us is it reports how many Osages they employ. So how many are you guys employing right now?
I think a couple things to respond to that, and I'll let Mr. Holder talk about current staffing and the makeup of current staffing, but just recently, I think Ms. Bell suggested that we add that to the financial reports, that how many natives we have employed and how many Osages are there on our staff. I would offer to you that in this period of rebuilding, and at the point we reached a low in 2014, we made some really strong efforts to hire project managers in the construction company that were Osage, to find another Osage besides it. At the time, Ms. Noble, who was there with us, was the only Indian native that we had on staff, and therefore she was in the general manager position in those subsidiary companies. We were in a terrible place from a recruitment standpoint. We had limited funds and fairly limited prospects at that point in time. So I think you're just now really starting to see us get in a position where we look like a viable entity and that we can attract quality people and keep them. And as we expand these companies, like Mr. Holder has already said, the limitations from Small Business Administration are the general manager can manage two of those companies at any one time. But as those companies grow and get bigger, we're going to have to put people in those spots just because they can't handle the workload of a really viable entity.
Right.
So
I think what you're looking for is what we're all looking for, but I think it's still, Mr. Holder kind of pointed out, this year's about performing. This year's about sustaining that upward trajectory that we've created.
And that's why I prefaced it, that I realized there are different growth and business philosophies about how you spend your money. One of them that's been put to me is, you know, that you can have businesses, tribal-owned businesses that employ your people. Most of those are going to be in manufacturing or right. jobs like that that really aren't expected to be your high profit,
really
huge money-making businesses. But they do make money. I'm not knocking them. They do. And then you have another area you looked at. I don't know if 8A is really, I hear that it can be really lucrative. I think that we're just kind of, they're barely starting out I hope that you keep that in mind, that we're wanting to hire Osage. We spend a lot of money at this tribe to educate our people. We reverent, we hold it high, and I know that we have really smart Osage people and really well-educated Osage people that would love to have an opportunity to help our companies grow.
I think we're headed for a place that we can make that happen.
Let me give you a few data points on that. So first off, we are going to have two college interns this summer in our company.
Osage.
And Osage college interns.
Good job.
That's a done deal. We've made that decision. Mm-hmm. And now we just got to get the resumes in and figure out. We need accounting, construction, maybe some technology. We're not sure what that means. Technology is such a nebulous thing. And or maybe some kind of engineering. So right now we need technical, educational kind of jobs to do these design pieces of these construction and technology projects.
Have you talked to our education department about this?
Oh,
okay, so we know.
We're
okay,
ready
good.
To go.
Perfect.
Wired in.
Good deal.
So we're going to do that, number one. There are two people that I've had detailed discussions with, and I can't name them because they're doing something else right now, that are interested in working for us at a time when it would be good for them and good for us.
Osages.
And that are Osages, okay? That are very capable people and that could really fit in very well in the management side. So I've got, you know, great hopes that we'll be able to do that when the time comes. One of them is limited at this point for what they can do. The other one, we're not of a size yet, you know, where we can bring them on. So as we grow, that'll, you know, we're, And let me also say this, it was really frustrating to amplify what Ray said. When we hired the position that Dustin has now, we spent 6 or 7 months looking. And we literally had someone take the job, and he was not Osage, he was Native American, he was Creek. And he came to work the first day, and he said, "I can't come to work here." I said, "Why?" "It's just too much negative press about all these lawsuits and all this stuff." And we've been here, Marie, and we've talked about this, and you've been a real champion of, "Hey guys, it's time to move on."
It is.
You have really done a good job of it. So I think to amplify what Ray said a minute ago, we were in that trough, and we are working really hard to make the business community and the technical communities that we want, that we draw people from, construction, engineering, architecture, accounting, feel like we're a place that they can spend, you know, a long time. And that's a part of our branding effort and all that. So anyway, we're mindful of it.
I'd like to say something about that. As far as hiring wholesalers, and Speaker Pratt will have some more to say on this too, but we don't want anyone to misunderstand, like I think construction activity they did misunderstand and think that they were under pressure to hire Osages. And we have a situation with Arrowhead Construction where I think they bent the law in order to award a contract to them under Osage preference. And I filed a complaint, notice of violation of competitive bidding law, that we don't want that to happen. We don't want anyone to bend the law in order to hire an Osage. Now, we don't have a law that says that you have to hire some dumbass just because it's Osage, but that'll show up in the bottom line. We want you to, you know, where we can hire Osages, we want to hire Osages, but I think you understand what I mean.
They're going to be ready.
Yeah.
And capable.
If we're
ready and capable. Well qualified.
Absolutely.
Well qualified.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not telling you to hire Osages at all.
No, I'm not saying either. I'm just saying that this is the way some of us feel.
Yes.
For sure. Now, like David Stewart, in one meeting years ago, he said, and I agree with this, it's more important to have a sound, stable business that can continue to hire Osages and people than it is to hire incompetence and never get there. So, but Angela probably got more to say on that too, because she's been involved in that situation.
Well, I won't pound on, I think you guys get it, but yeah, I was involved in this and kept being brought into the conversations, and I just made it very clear early on that first, we'll follow the law. Secondly, you know, a statement was made, well, we just, you know, because I wasn't even sure of the purpose of the discussion at the time, and it was like, well, we just want you to know that you're probably going to receive a phone call from this Osage who's upset. And I said, you let us handle that phone call. I'm here, right. I'm in the seat, I can handle that. And we have the law to fall back on. We have, so we just want to make it very clear that certainly we promote that. That's why we do these things. We want to promote Osages. And you know, just like in our gaming, we started there, and I think I made in my speech at the groundbreaking of the Tulsa expansion, you know, I pointed out how we have several Osages in there, and I'm really proud of that, you know, but that's where we were trying to get to. We had those CEOs in there with the understanding and their contract that we would build these Osages up to eventually take over, and we're there now. So, and we have a vested interest, and I think that we work harder. We're also more accountable, because a lot of times I think, you know, I've talked about even having Osages the directorships and things like that, because we have a vested interest. Not that any others don't, I'm just saying they're Osages, it's there and you have a vested interest, your families do. So you want to give it your best, you want to be honest, you know, and so almost like you would think twice about doing your own people wrong, you know, and I'm not saying it's non-Indians or anyone else, that's their intent. It's just that as an Osage, you got to really think about, are you going to do this to your own people, you know, when you take action? So again, that's the point. So we certainly promote that and support that, but we want to follow the law, and it's there. It's not, I kept saying, I was like, we can't keep trying to fit the triangle into the star, just keep cramming and cramming their qualifications or you know, whatever we're doing, and we're working around things in order for that square to fit into the star, but we want the opportunity to be there, but certainly we definitely want them to be qualified. Don't just stick anybody in there. And so I think that was, I'm not sure who was having the confusion on that, but I made that statement very clear at that time that we believe in Osage preference, but not super duper 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 preference, you know. And I kept saying that. I was like, what are we doing here? What are you talking about? So anyways, again, I won't hound on it, but you get it that we would never be in favor of that. So
and because it's unfair to an unqualified individual to put them in a role of faith.
Right, you know, and that's what I kept saying. I was like, I would love for them to be Osage and well qualified, as you know, like, again, they have a vested interest to do their best job. However, what I really want as an Osage is to hire the best person for the job, the most qualified to do the best, because then we all benefit from it, you know, when we have the best in there. So,
well said.
Congressman, is there anything that we need to do on the, you introduced legislation, I understand, to for the bonding?
As long as it's confined to bonding, I don't think we'll have a problem. We've got money in the economic development. It's just, there's a lot of scrutiny right now and shortage of money, and we've got the money to do that if we can keep it.
Yeah,
and leave those restrictions on those bonding.
Great.
I don't think we'll have a problem with us, but you know, I don't guarantee anything up here. That's my feeling right now.
I have one more thing. Now we get a chairman's monthly report. I know that through this report, with this PowerPoint that was presented today, you just gave us a really big splash and a graph of where you came from and where you're going. I'm curious to know why you don't feel it necessary to send Congress your monthly financials. The last one I have is, I asked the clerk to pull it for us, and it was November 30th, 2016 is the last monthly financial I have on your company.
I think that what we had set up was we were sending them quarterly. If y'all want them more frequently than that, we prepare monthly and share at our board meeting monthly. I think we had only been submitting quarterlies to the nation.
Okay, so what
is it? We're happy if you desire, I'm going to have to send them.
We got them, we just haven't sent them.
Right, I'm just curious.
Because the agreement was quarterly, we thought.
Okay, I didn't know. Are you okay with quarterly financials, or do you want monthly financials?
That's up to the committee. Quarterly is probably almost often.
It's a lot of detail, but we'll be happy to send it to you.
Yeah,
I'm okay with
it. And we're working on...
I'm okay with quarterly also. I just didn't know that was the agreement. I'm used to seeing monthly financials.
Well, and I'm not certain when we say agreement, I'm not certain of that, but I know historically that what has been submitted has been quarterly to the nation. And Ms. Bertram, who acts as our CFO, had made that arrangement, I think, with the previous treasurer, mm-hmm. and has continued that. So they come to the executive office, the legislature, and to the treasurer's office.
On a quarterly basis. So that was an arrangement you made with the treasurer.
I believe that's what Ms. And Marie, I can't tell you that I know the exact history of how that arrangement was come to. But Mr. Holder and Ms. Bertram and myself have been putting our heads together, working on a more concise monthly CFO report, and that might be something that would be beneficial to the
detailed quarterly.
See that on a monthly basis. rather than all the detail. I mean, you're welcome to the detail. It just depends on what you want as an audience.
Well, I'm looking at this email here, and it would the email leads me to believe that we did not have the third or the fourth quarter for 2016, and this communication was in January of this year. So apparently we had missed a couple of quarters and didn't have them in our possession.
I can discuss that with her.
Okay.
No, the fourth quarter didn't come until the audit was finished. That's right. Just now finished.
We're just now getting wrapped up.
Okay. Which leads to another question. Do you guys choose your own auditor?
The auditor is selected. It was bid out competitively 3 years ago for a three-year term, and it was done by the audit committee of the board, which now constitutes of myself and Mr. Parrish. So we're in the third year of a three-year agreement with that auditor.
Okay.
We think that it's important as a board that we select that auditor, that the board has that relationship with the audit entity that reviews the financial status of the LLC.
And why do you have that feeling?
That is common practice. Typically, a corporate board, a governance board, has an audit committee, and that audit committee does that selection. And the relationship then is between the auditor and that board, supposedly to give that board an independent review of the financial situation, the control situation of the company. Okay? It is common practice. And you look throughout corporate industry, audit committee of the board of directors selects the auditor for the entity. It's almost to have someone else do it, I would like it almost to that outside party. And it doesn't apply very well here because you are the owner, but it almost is an insurable interest kind of issue. A third party doesn't have an interest in the company, but the governance board does. Okay? And now you all, that's why I say that doesn't apply very well here because you are our owner. And there's no question about that with us. But we as a board believe that it's important that we have that relationship with the auditor.
I'm not sure the CPA firm can engage with anything, any entity.
I don't know that they can.
Other than the board, right, or the audit committee of the board. I think that's a legal relationship that is common practice for sure.
We may be changing that. It's common in a lot of places, but it's also common to have comprehensive nationwide audits. Yeah. We're looking into that.
Okay.
The other thing is to talk about reporting now. We may be changing the way all of these entities report to us, but that's probably in the future. But just for instance, Your expenses, you show $75,000 a month, not $900,000 a year. Now, you're also projecting a $500,000 profit, so I'm thinking that your expenses are accounted for in deriving that $500,000 profit. I wouldn't want to come and say, well, we made $500,000, but we lost $900,000 on expenses. I'm thinking that's accounted for, and you're going to make a $500,000 profit for the nation.
That's certainly what we're hoping for.
We understand that.
Yeah, that's net. That's net margin, not gross margin. Or net income.
I don't have anything else, unless somebody. We've gone an hour and 15 minutes over, but I appreciate you staying.
Thank you all for the chance.
I'm sure you're tired. 6:14.
Appreciate it.
My mom's 93rd birthday party is waiting.
Did you all decide quarterly or monthly?
I did.
Quarterly.
Is it required monthly?
I don't know. I haven't.
We'll do whatever you want.
We've got it.
My other question is about changing the articles of operation?
We'll send you the red line.
You'll send us the red line, and are we expecting to try to get this done this session?
We'd love to.
There's really not a lot of major changes in it. It doesn't change anything in the operations. It's just more semantics than anything.
It really brings it in compliance with the LLC Act.
Okay. I think that you guys are out of compliance with the LLC Act.
We were given a document that we had no input in, and somebody, I don't know where it came from, but we were given, it came from the executive branch. So it's been up to us to get that fixed. And so we've done that, and then I talked to Congressman Supernar about this, and Mr. Barber, you know, very familiar with the act, and his firm has done this, and we've gone through internal discussions for several months, and then the board passed it last month. So I think, you know, you could probably have a discussion directly with him.
And I did talk to him.
Did you talk to him?
Amazing.
Okay.
But it's just a brief conversation. I told him I didn't want to be, he said to call him if he needed to. I said, I don't want to be calling you and add an expense to their, you know, to your expenses. I'd rather talk directly to you.
Yeah, we just.
It shouldn't cost that much money up there.
Thank you.
It shouldn't cost that much money.
Chairman, you know, you're talking about legal.
Motion to adjourn.
Yes, I am.
You know what all that is? A loose stem around.
I think it's way over.
I know that.
Way past.
It was articles of organization and operation. There's no way.
Motion to adjourn. Then I propose that.
And you're just not worth that.
You might want to debate.
Let's talk about adjournment. Well.